In verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now I want to preach to you this morning out of verse number 3. I want you to notice that one phrase there in verse number 3, where it said the Lord would give unto them beauty for ashes. Now that's what I want to preach on this morning, beauty for ashes. Now, you know, when the Lord saves us, salvation is a picture. This is a picture of salvation given to me and you. What the Lord gives us is wonderful and it's beautiful. But what we give him is just like a great big pile of burnt up ashes. The Bible said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have nothing to offer God. We have nothing to offer him. We have nothing to impress him with. So salvation is strictly a gift of grace. God gave it to us free of charge, plus nothing and minus nothing. Some of us just need to get that through our head and just accept it and believe it, that God gave us beauty for ashes. Amen? That is a blessing this morning, to know that God up in heaven loved me and you so much that he looked down and saw the condition of our lost condition and where we was going and where we were at, and saved us in spite of ourselves. Amen? I thank God for that this morning. I've got about 3 points this morning. I'm not going to hold you long, but I want to say, first of all, he gave us beauty for ashes. He gave us life in exchange for death. He gave us hope in exchange for despair. He gave us reward in exchange for punishment. Thank God I remember the day that God saved me. I know that I've told it time and time again, and I know you've heard it, and I know maybe you get tired of hearing it. But thank God I never get tired of telling it. I remember that night when I got saved right there in that old mill house sitting there on the hill. And I remember they were getting down to pray as I walked in that Sunday night after church. And I, you know, people back then used to go to church and have a good time, and they'd come back home and they might have church again. Amen? Nowadays you can't even get people to go to church and have church at church, let alone have church at home. But I'll tell you, I was under conviction, brother, and I'd lived a life of sin for about 4 years. I'd lived hard and lived a wild life, and I ran from God, and I ran from God. And everything I tried to do, nothing I ever did really, really satisfied me. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I did some things for some thrills, and I did some things I thought was fun. But brother and sister, deep down inside of my heart, it felt like there was a hole in my heart, and nothing wouldn't fill it. It felt like that there was a void there. And everything I did, it just would not satisfy me. I'd go out and have pleasure in sin and try the things of the world. And I tried to find happiness. And just as a young man, I begin to think there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to it than this. And I knew that I wasn't happy. And I knew what I was doing that wasn't making me happy. And I knew where I was headed. And I knew that what the lifestyle I was living was not satisfying me. But I'll tell you that night, brother and sister, thank God, when I walked in that door and they was getting down on their knees to pray, that was an altar right there in the front of that couch. And I knelt down on my knees and I asked God to save my soul. I had run from God and run from God and run from God. But thank God that night, brother, like that old song said, something got a hold of me. That song said I went there to fight, but oh my, that night, something got a hold of me. Thank God I'm glad that when I went to him that night, I didn't have nothing to offer God. All I had was a heap of ashes. Oh, but thank God I went down a lost man, but I came up a saved man. I went down condemned, but I came up justified. I went down blind, but I came up seeing. I went down sorrowful, but I came up glad. Thank God he gave me beauty that night for ashes. You say, preacher, you ain't too pretty. If you could see inside of me, you'd see the beauty of God. Amen, preacher! Some of you ought to wake up and get on fire for God and you think about what God's done for you. Glory to God, He gave us something beautiful. Thank God you said, well, you ain't too, I think I'm rather nice looking compared to what I used to be. Amen. You can see down inside of my heart, man, you'd say that sure is pretty. Thank God He gave us beauty for ashes. All I had to offer Him was a wasted life, a wreck, a shell of a young man. Thank God the Holy Ghost of God came down that night and flooded my soul. And brother, let me tell you something this morning. God made a change in me. And I've been a different man ever since. I ain't been perfect. I ain't been good. But thank God. Thank God I ain't what I used to be. Amen. Glory to God. I feel good in my soul this morning. I'm glad He gave us beauty for ashes. I read over there in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 9. You ought to go home and read it. There was a man one time by the name of Mephibosheth. That's a hard name to say, I know. Especially when you're like me and you're a hillbilly. But old King David, he loved Jonathan. Jonathan and David was good friends. And they loved each other. And in the process of time, old Jonathan died. And one day, King David said, is there anybody left? Anybody? That's related to Jonathan that I can show him kindness to. And a servant spoke up and said, way down yonder in a desert place, in a desolate land, there's a man crippled, lame on his feet, and his name's Mephibosheth. He's Jonathan's son. And David said, go down there and fetch him. Amen? See, that word fetch ain't a backwoods hillbilly word. That's a Bible word. He said, go down there and fetch him. Boy, I'm glad God told the Holy Ghost to go fetch me, ain't you? Boy, He knew where I was at. He knew what I was doing. He knew exactly what I was up to. And thank God He came right where I was and found me in my condition. Old Mephibosheth was down there in that place. I can see in my mind that he was living in a little old hut, little old slab walls and a dirt floor. And the Bible said that his mama fell on him and crippled him when he was a baby. They was having this war and they were all trying to escape. And she fell on him and crippled him. And he couldn't walk and he was lame. And I can see him laying there in that little shack maybe there by the roadside. And he was laying there on a little old moth-eaten blanket and maybe just eating a piece of bread now and then and a glass of water. And one day he heard a knock on the door. And he said, who's there? And he said, it's the king's servant. The king has sent me to fetch you back. And he said, Lord, what have I done? What have I done? He said, you ain't done nothing. The king wants to see you. Thank God I'm glad they're not. Thank God the Holy Ghost came by and let me know that the King of Glory wanted me. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I can see that servant as he walked in there, scooped up that little old crippled man. This man was poor, and he was crippled. Couldn't help himself. Ain't that a picture of me and you? Amen? Oh, I know some of us, after we get saved, we get that sanctimonious look, you know. We think we're so holy, but really we're not. The only thing good about us is Him that's living in us. Amen? And that old fellow, he didn't have nothing to offer. And the servant took him out there and carried him and set him in that chariot. He probably thought, what have I done? They're going to take me to the king's palace. And they're going to cut my head off. I'm going to be executed. I'm not worthy to go to the king's palace. What have I done? And that fellow said, you just get in there and you just ride and you just don't worry about it. The king sent for you. And I can see him as he's riding down the road in that chariot and he looked around and all his neighbors come out and they probably said, wonder where he's going. Wonder where the likes of him got the right to ride in the king's chariot. Let me tell you something today, my friend. People may look at me and you that way. I ain't got no right to ride in the king's chariot, but it's because of the grace of God. It's because of His Son. It ain't because of me. It ain't because I'm good. It's because God's Son. Thank God for grace that God bestowed on me and you. And he went riding down the road in that chariot, and I can see him looking out the window, a little crippled man. And he probably thought, Lord, I'll probably never see this place again. And he went riding into the courtyard and they carried him into the king's palace. And you know what he said? They set him down there at the king's feet. You know what he said? He said, why would you look upon such a dead dog as I am? You know what the king said? He said, don't say that, son. He said, I'm not worthy to be in your presence, O king. And you know what David told him? He said, it's for your father Jonathan's sake that you're in my presence. And I want to show kindness to you. I love you because I love him. Thank God, I'm glad when he looks down this morning, folks, When God in heaven looks down at me and you, I'll tell you the only thing that keeps Him from wiping me and you off the face of the earth, He looks down inside of you and He sees His Son. Thank God it's because of His darling Son. I'll tell you, God could look at me and you and He could get tired of our foolishness. He could get tired of our sin and ways, but you know what? He looks over at His Son sitting at His right hand, and He sees those scars, and He sees the scars in His feet, and His hands, and His side. Oh, thank God it's because of Him that me and you are saved this morning. Thank God for the beauty that God gave for this pile of ashes that we had to offer. And He said, the king said, from now on, from this day on, you eat at the king's table. I didn't realize when I got saved, all I want to do is get out of it, keep from going to hell. I had no idea. Really, I'm being honest. I grew up in a church like this. I did. I grew up in a good spiritual church, but I didn't realize until that night I got right with God, brother, that I could scoop my feet up under the king's table and eat from the king's table and eat king's food. Do you people realize this morning, sitting right here in this building, that you're eating king's food right now? I'm feeding you right off the throne of the table of the throne of God. Brother, that's the best kind of food you can have. Oh, Mephibosheth, sit there and eat at the king's table. He said, I'm a crippled man. I'm a poor man. But thank God I'm sitting at the king's table. He gave me beauty for ashes. Glory to God! I feel like shouting this morning. I'm glad I'm saved. I imagine them people walked through the palace and saw him sitting there. What's he doing there? People might look at you that way. Amen. What right does he go to church? He ain't no better than I am. Maybe he ain't. Maybe you ain't no better than they are, but at least you're saved. Amen. Going to heaven don't have nothing to do with being good or bad. What it has to do with being saved, it's who you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. I want to say secondly, in that verse he said that he would give us joy from mourning. Did you know that God can take your mourning and turn it into joy? He said, now preacher, I don't understand that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Listen to this. As poor. You say, preacher, I'm poor. Join the club. Who ain't poor? Yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Now, wait a minute here. You mean to tell me that you can be poor and you can be rich at the same time? Absolutely. Amen? Why, brother, let me tell you something. Some of us, if somebody would mug us, they'd feel sorry for us and give us money. Amen? But I'm going to tell you one thing, brother. I'm rich in the things that really count. Amen? I'm rich in salvation. Thank God I'm going to heaven. I don't have to go to hell. My Father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and He owns all the taters in the hills. Thank God I'm glad that He's rich. My Father owns houses and land. The wealth of this world is in the palm of His hand. Amen? You say, well, preacher, we're just poor and we have to pay bills. And I know. That's why I encourage these teenagers not to get married until they're about 25. Enjoy life. Stay home and eat mom and daddy's groceries. Enjoy their light bill before you have your own. Amen? Ain't that right, people? Somebody say, man, that's the truth. Man, you ought to soak it up, kids. Enjoy it. Let mom and daddy buy your clothes and feed you and help you buy a car. Just as long as you go to school and do right and live right, they'll help you. You ought to enjoy every milk it for everything it's worth. There's going to come a day. Going to come a day you're going to be important all of a sudden. Some of you kids never get mail, do you? You just wait. The day is coming. You're going to be important. Your name. You'll have a light bill. You'll have a phone bill. A car payment book. You'll have a landlord knocking on your door. Amen. And the worst part about it is you'll have a wife down at Walmart. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's right. Brother, listen, you know how it is. Unless you're just rich, when you get married and you start making a living, I mean, it's one thing after another. You think you're going to get one step ahead, but it never happens, brother. As long as you're raising kids, you ain't going to save no money. Amen. Amen. You ain't going to do it, brother. I mean, you might put a little bit away, but there's always going to be something going to come along. Take it, ain't it? I see some of you grinning. You know exactly where I'm coming from. Well, we're about to get caught up, honey. Yeah, bam, something happens to set you back 3 months. That's right. That's just what's called the real world. Amen. I shouldn't tell this, but a couple of weeks ago, we took one of our sons to get his car on the road and put insurance on it, bought a tag, paid his taxes. We're driving down the road, and it took his whole paycheck, bless his heart. I think he had $5 left. Mama said, "Drake, what's the matter?" And he said, "I'm broke." You know what I said? Welcome to the real world, son. Amen? But I'll tell you what, as long as you can live at home and you can have a little girlfriend that don't cost you nothing and you can see her every now and then at church, praise God. Don't worry about them. It's going to cost you money. Most of you ain't got none. Amen. I don't know how I got on that. But I'm just saying you can be poor and still be rich. Amen? Well, people nowadays don't know what poor is. I mean, I've seen some poor people before. I'm telling you. I mean, when I grew up, we wasn't wealthy. We had food on the table. We ate taters and beans. And the next day, we ate beans and taters. That was an everyday thing. And that's why I don't eat beans today unless I want them. You ain't going to make me eat them. Amen? But I'm just saying, we had hot meals, and we had happiness and peace in our home. We was rich in the things that kept. Let me tell you something, folks. I know people right now that's got money coming out their ears. They got all the new cars and boats and campers and beautiful $500,000 homes. But their house is a war zone. They are fussing and cussing and fighting. They don't know if their wife's out running around with another man or not. And it's a constant, just a constant hell raising. And more than give every dime they had to have what you got at your house. Amen. Brother, riches don't necessarily mean money. Thank God I'm a wealthy man this morning. We got salvation and got a wonderful family. It's so quiet at our house. It is. We got teenagers. They're usually gone. Or on the telephone. I got caught waiting last week, and they're going to pay the bill, too. Amen. But I'm just saying this morning, he'll give you joy for mourning. He can make you happy. You say, "No, preacher, that can't be. How can a person..." Let me tell you something. You can have a tragedy strike and still be happy. Amen. There's some of you sitting here this morning a year ago. One of your loved ones was with you, and today they're not. Amen. And it hurt you and broke your heart to see them go. But you didn't lose the joy. Joy does not depend on your circumstances. Joy is a deep down confidence in God in your heart. Regardless of your circumstances, you still have joy. You remember the story of Paul and Silas over in Acts 16? They were locked up in jail for preaching. And brother, they had joy. And they began to sing. And they began to praise God. And at midnight, the door swung open. They still had their joy. Amen. If you lose your joy and quit church because somebody did something or said something, you ain't got no joy. Amen. You have a false sense of security is what you got. Real joy don't depend on people. Amen? That jailer there in Acts 16, he went to work that night. He probably got ready for work, and his wife packed his dinner bucket. He didn't know what was waiting on him when he got to work that night. He was working the graveyard shift, come carrying his dinner bucket in, and he clocked in, and he said, "Well, what have we got tonight?" And somebody said, "Well, we got a couple of murderers on this end, and Ward B, we've got a couple of thieves, and hey, you get a load of this. Down in Ward C, we got two preachers." And he said, "Two preachers? What? I can't stand them people. Can you? They're just so fanatic." And they said, "Hey, you know, get this. They're down there shouting a while ago. Carrie don't have a church. Crazy. They got a big laugh out of it." But you know what? When the earthquake came and the door swung open and the Bible said every man's bands were loose and they were all free and the jailer drew his sword and was going to kill himself, Paul said, "Do thyself no harm." And brother, the Bible said, he sprung in and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Join the Baptist church and go to kiss the Pope's toes." No, he didn't say that. Here's what he said. "You got to be baptized." That ain't what he said. What did he say? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." Boy, he got right with God. And I mean, he really got right because he took the preacher home for dinner. Amen! He did. He took them home with him, and they went and had fried chicken and turnip greens and with fat back in them and cathead biscuits and gravy, and I'm getting hungry. Amen. You can't have joy for mourning. Why, them fellas could have sat there in that jail cell and just mourned and cried and felt sorry for themselves. They could have said, Paul could have said, I'm one of the best preachers around here, and here I end up in jail, and these other guys, they're getting to run revivals all over the country. I'm just going to go eat a can of worms. Amen? But he didn't. He said, glory to God. Silas said, Paul, how are we getting this message? He said, I don't know. But boy, I sure feel good down in my soul, don't you? Amen? How many ever feel bad in body? Everybody that's over 30, right? Some days you don't feel good, but thank God you can still feel good down in your soul. That's joy for moaning. God can take your moaning spirit and give you joy. Amen. There's a woman one time saw her husband and her son fall in the river and drown right in front of her. You say, gosh, how could anybody live through that? How could anybody? Her boy fell in and her husband dove in to save him. And the current swept them both away right before her eyes. True story. He said, I couldn't live. I just couldn't. Not only did she live, but she sat down one day with a pen and she started writing this. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How could you say that after you've seen your husband and your son swept away? It's that deep inner peace that the world don't know anything about. How I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. All for grace to trust Him more. Amen. I want to say thirdly, in verse 3, He said, He will also give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You ever experienced heaviness before? You know what that means? That means to be burdened. You ever been burdened? You ever been burdened before and didn't know why? I have that happen to me a lot. Sometimes I get burdened about things and I don't have any idea why I'm burdened. You ever get that way? Just get a burden on you. Like Brother Eddie was talking about the other night. Sometimes the Lord puts a burden on you and you don't know why, but He wants you to pray. He wants you to pray for somebody. He wants you to pray about something. But I want to tell you, God will give us the spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The reasons for praise far outweighs the reasons for heaviness. Amen? The Bible said, I rejoice in the Lord in Psalms 33, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, singing to Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings, singing to Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. That's why we're always saying, sing loud, kids, sing loud, sing loud. The Bible said, sing with a loud voice. He said, cry loud and spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Amen? This dead, dried-up, quiet religion, that's not what the Bible teaches. Amen. Used to, all churches would praise God almost. This is in the last 30, 40 years, everybody's got dignified and quiet. Those churches right here in this county this morning, if I was preaching in their church and took my coat off like I did a minute ago, some of the old ladies would pass out in the aisle. I cannot believe that he took his coat off. He unbuttoned his shirt and he's sweating. He's perspiring. That's not perspiration, that's sweat. Amen? But the Bible says to praise Him. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. He said, if His praise is continually in your mouth, you won't have time to gossip. Amen. Got you on that one, didn't I? Amen? But I think we spend as much time praising Him as we do talking about somebody, God would bless us a whole lot more. Amen? I got a news flash for you. People believe this. They think if it's true, it's okay to talk about it. Amen? I heard somebody choking back there. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said not to be busybodies in other men's matters. Amen? The Bible said not to talk about other people. Don't put them down. It don't matter if they did do it. God didn't authorize you to be the local newspaper. Amen? God didn't put you on earth to go around spreading tells about people and somebody done something wrong, you go tell it. Well, if it's true, that don't matter. If it's true, that just means you shouldn't tell it that much more. Amen? Because you can outlive a lie, can't you? Oh, somebody ain't liking that. God bless our women folk. I'll tell you this. You know, women's always the ones that's accused of gossiping, and they do. They do. Amen? But I'll tell you what, I've been around some men I believe could hold a candle to them. I said, y'all didn't have to amen it that loud. I want to say this. Some of you don't know this, but I've been around some preachers. Preachers are some of the worst I've ever been around. That's why I don't like to go to a lot of these preachers' conferences, because they sit around and talk about other preachers and run them down. Well, you know, I guarantee you some of these pastors' conferences, they talk about me and don't even know me. Yeah, they got a crowd down there, but you ain't no telling what they're doing to gather such a crowd like that. While they're probably giving balloons out to the kids, and they're probably giving ties to the men and pantyhose to the women. Well, if that'd work, we'd do it. Amen. Anything to get them in here, brother. Once we get them in here, we can preach the devil out of them. Amen. The Bible said the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise the Lord. The Bible said, praise you the Lord, let everything that hath breath praise you the Lord. You know what you're supposed to do? Praise the Lord. There's some of you here this morning. You see it kind of breaking loose in here, and you're dying to get in it, but you're scared to. And some of them's waving their hand, and you want to do it, but you got that Baptist arthritis. It's about as far as it'll go. But it's funny, you go to the races and the ball game, and they loosen up. Must be that night air or something just loosens everything up. Amen? Brother, I'll tell you, I believe we ought to go to church and praise God. And I'll tell you, I thank God that I was raised in a church like this. I'm glad I was raised in a good Christian, Bible-believing family. Brother, I'm glad I wasn't raised in some dead, dried-up mess. But I know what it is to praise God. I'm not talking about putting on a big show and doing crazy stuff. I'm talking about good old Bible holiness, brother. I'm not talking about people nowadays afraid to say the word holiness. They're afraid, you know, they're going to think we're Pentecostal. They already think that. They do. I've heard all kind of rumors about our church. I've heard it was Baptist-costal. There's a Church of God woman looked me in the face when they said, y'all going to be speaking in tongues next. I said, no, we ain't. I said, no, we ain't. Amen? But the Bible said he'll give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Listen, you can come to church and sit here and be dried up if you want to, but he'll give you praise. I mean, he'll let you praise him. He'll let you feel it. Let me tell you something. We don't come to church because of our feeling, but boy, it sure does feel good sometimes, don't it? I don't know how many of you was not here last Sunday night, but I'm going to tell you something. We started at 6 o'clock. We left here at 8:30. Well, I mean, the churches all over town that start at 7 was done at home eating supper. We're still here at 8:30. You say, now, preacher, that's just too long to stay at church. That's a strange thing, brother. You'll go to a ball game, it goes in an extra inning. You'll stay there till 2 o'clock in the morning. I've done it. I went and watched ball games that went in the extra inning. I'd die before I'd leave. I got to see how this thing turns out. Amen? You mean I'll sit there for 9 innings and then go home and not see who won? Why, it might end with one big old grand slam and I'd miss it. That's the same way I'm about church. Amen? Brother, you can come to church, and I'll tell you what, brother, we got in here last Sunday night, and there's something got to stirring around in here. And for a while, it's kind of hard, you know. Wasn't nothing going on much, and I preached, and I thought, Lord have mercy. It felt like it's hitting the wall and bouncing back in my face. But you know what? We give the altar call, people started coming, and then we give another altar call, and some more people came. How many altar calls we had last week? 3 or 4? I don't know, but everybody in the church just about came up and started getting right, and people was crying and slinging snot, and every woman in here, when they left, didn't have no mascara when she got home. Amen. Boy, that's a blessing. You can tell you've had a good service when they got streaks down their face when they walk out. They'll give you praise. Real holiness. That's what we got inside. What the Lord can see, people can't see. I want to tell you one more story, and I'm going to let you go. Y'all heard the story about the preacher that was going to the mission field, and he had some business to take care of, so he sent his family on ahead. He had several daughters. I think he had 5 or 6 daughters, didn't he? Something like that. And he stayed behind, had to finish up some business. He got a telegram a couple days later that the ship sunk and all his daughters drowned. Across the Atlantic, he asked the captain to stop the boat where his family died and just give him a few minutes. And you know what? That fella wrote that song we sung a while ago. It is well. It is well with my soul. You see, folks, if your happiness hinges on your circumstances, you'll never be happy. Because something bad's always going to happen. Did you know you've got what the world's looking for and they just don't know it? You know that the Hollywood crowd, they're never happy That's like some of them have been married 8, 9, 10 times. They can't find what they're looking for. That's like Michael Jordan has won how many? 6 world championships. And you know what they want next year? 1 more. It never satisfies. It's just a trophy. That don't really mean anything. What that is, folks, is there's something down inside of you that's yearning and longing for something, and you're hungry for it, and the only thing that can fill that void is Jesus Christ. Amen. And the world's out there looking for it. You know where they're looking for it at? In the bottom of a liquor bottle. Or rolled up in a joint, smoking it. Amen? Or in a pill. Or in all the pleasures of the world. You ain't going to find it. Young people, when you get out there in this big old world, you get out there, you think, man, if I had me a BMW, a convertible BMW, and man, I had me a pretty woman, I'd have it made. No, you wouldn't. You'd have a car payment, plus a woman's going to give you trouble. Any woman that dates you because your car ain't fit for nothing. Amen? If she don't like you driving a Studebaker, y'all wouldn't date her. But I'm telling you, those things in the world won't satisfy you. You just keep coming up short. You're going to think I'm crazy, but I'll never forget this. I don't know why it sticks out in my mind. It keeps popping in my head, and I know the Lord wants me to tell it. I was sitting in a bar one night, years ago, before I ever got saved, and it was probably 500 people in that place. I sat on that bar, still about half drunk, and all of a sudden, it was just like this empty feeling just overwhelmed me, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, this is the pits. Oh, I know when you see them on TV and on the movies, they're partying. Oh, man, that looks like life. But you know what? If them people tell you the truth, they'd say, it don't satisfy me. Yeah. It just does not do it. I remember sitting on that bar stool and I thought back to the little church I grew up in. And them people up singing Amazing Grace and my daddy preaching, sitting on that bar stool, half drunk. I thought, man, that's the good life. That's where I ought to be. Yeah. Kids, don't let the devil lure you out in the world. Because once you get started on that stuff, like we said last Sunday night, it's hard to get off of it. Yeah. The best thing to do is just not ever get on it. Yeah. And he'll give you beauty for ashes. Just give him what you have. You say, preacher, I ain't got nothing. I don't either. All I had to offer him was just a pile of ashes. You remember that guy over there in the New Testament that was full of the devil? And he was out there in the cave, and he would sit out there and cut himself and scream at night and howl like a wolf. And they had him chained up and living in a cave. Jesus came to him. What did he have to offer? Nothing. Nothing. Just a pile of ashes. You know, Jesus said, he said, I love you, son. I want to help you. Cast them demons out of him. The Bible said he cleaned up, got him a haircut, put on a nice suit, and was in his right mind. Amen?
Amen.
God, this morning, will give you beauty for ashes.